episode recorded during the 11th gathering of the Parlamericas Parliamentary Network for Gender Equality, Achieving Balance in the World of Work, Sophia Bryan, a leadership and business development strategist from Jamaica, delivers a presentation focused on the importance of inclusion in the design and implementation of employment policies and programs. She provides concrete actions that can be taken by parliaments, governments, and other actors to provide support to women and youth, in particular, in accessing formal employment and political spaces.
Buenos dias. Me llamo Sofia. Soy de Jamaica. And I recognized early on that it's our choices rather than our circumstances that will determine the outcome of our lives. And so, based on my upbringing, you know, I was raised by my older sister, and that was one of the things that sparked me wanting to create this ecosystem where women can thrive. And so that led me to doing work in gender equality. All right, so what will I be doing here today? I'll be giving you some considerations for creating an environment where women thrive. And I'll be speaking to the importance of inclusion in designing employment programs and policies. I'm also going to be providing with you with some specific considerations that will allow you to be responsive. And I'm going to be sharing some lessons learned throughout my journey. All right, so this wonderful quote by the Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Culture, Gender, Entertainment, and Sports was shared actually last year at the Parlamericas meeting that was held in Jamaica. And this is, you know, reflective of the Jamaican context, and I gather the context of many other countries, that it is urgent that we address the situation of women's leadership, because it is clear that when women are excluded by whatever means from the top leadership, they are denied power to make a difference in the real world. So my argument is that persons are more inclined to advocate for the issues they can identify with. And so I'm of the view that if more women are afforded the opportunity to go to the top, then it will be that much easier to promote gender equality. So just some brief data about the situation that exists in Jamaica and other parts of the Caribbean. You know, the representation in Parliament, 82% men. There's a huge disparity between men and women, and other data has been shown in that regard. I want to focus on the level of women at the C-suite. And within the Caribbean, based on this ILO survey that was done in 2013, women make up a lot less compared to the world average with women who serve at the C-suite. So, and another thing I wanted to highlight is the whole instance of economic abuse, and economic abuse speaks to a woman being prevented from earning money, a woman's earnings being taken away by her partner, or her partner refusing to give her money. Interestingly, a woman's educational background does not deter her from experiencing any of these things. And so I want to share the anecdote that I see often among professional women, professional meaning women who would have gone up to the tertiary level of education. So they'll be earning an income, they may be with a partner who earns less than them. However, they give up the power as it relates to controlling of their finances to their partner, even though they're earning more and they may be more qualified. And so I'm going to be speaking about why I think this situation exists and why it's important to address this, because one of the reasons, these are some of the things that lead to financial abuse, because if I'm working and the society says it's the man who is the head of the house and he's supposed to be controlling the finances, I'm vulnerable, even if my partner is supposed to be the head and supposed to be supportive of me. What if he becomes non-supportive in the future? Where am I left? I don't know what's happening with the money in my family or in my household, and I think that's problematic. All right, so I want to also speak about culture. So last year, I ventured into the world of youth politics, and I ran for chairperson of the Commonwealth Youth Council. And so this is an organization that represents the 51 states in the Commonwealth, yes, and the youth representative body. And so, interestingly, persons weren't so concerned about, you know, whether I'm qualified to serve in this role. The objections had a lot to do with me being a woman, which I found a little bit insane. And these criticisms and, you know, politics is muddy, even youth politics. Crazy, I know. This came from persons who were even from my own community, Jamaica, and these criticisms were thrown at me in very public media. And so culture, I recognize, is also a hurdle that needs to be overcome when it comes on to promoting women in leadership. And so that sort of led to my even greater sensitivity about why there needs to be an importance in pursuing or creating an environment where more women leaders can put themselves out there. It's important to support women leaders. Morgan Stanley Capital International, in a 2015 research, it showed that companies with strong female leadership generated a return on equity of 10.1% per year versus 7.4% for those without such leadership. It also found that companies lacking board diversity suffered more governance-related controversy than companies with gender diversity among board members. And I want to also inject here that gender goes beyond just man and woman, or male and female. You know, there are persons who fall outside of that scope. And so the conversation about gender equality should also, I think, factor in those persons who deem themselves as non-gender conforming or not male versus female. And this one, there is a strong correlation between the lack of diversity in leadership and corruption, according to a cross-country analysis of over 125 countries by the Journal of Economic Behavior and Organization. Many Caribbean countries, they're way high on the corruption index, and so this is a viable solution to change that situation, I think. All right, so what's a solution I propose with all of these statistics or this data that can be very saddening? I promote transformational leadership among women, and I think that our government should be doing so as well. And what is transformational leadership all about? So it is my view that if more women are going up towards tertiary education, and if more persons are climbing the corporate ladder, more women are choosing to work and running, you know, managing their households at the same time, or prioritizing their career, then what's the point of this situation happening if they're not confident enough to actually pursue positions of power and influence? And so transformational leadership supports the building of their confidence. It also allows them to clearly communicate their value. So many women have, you know, the women that I've encountered, they have an inability to communicate why they're valuable, what makes them qualified to serve in a particular role, and what makes them an ideal candidate, for example. And so transformational leadership allows this to be unraveled. It also supports increased productivity and efficiency. And there's an emphasis on creating other leaders rather than merely imposing authority. And it's also about creating team buy-in through building relationships and emotional intelligence, which is, you know, studies have shown that women possess a greater level of emotional intelligence than our male counterparts. Another solution that I propose is political parties need to be held accountable. Political parties need to actively promote equal representation and participation of women in their leading bodies. I don't want to call it nepotism, but I find that many women who've had the opportunity to serve, the way was sort of paved for them in a sense, meaning that maybe there's a family history or they were almost selected. But what about the women who don't have a family history in politics? What about the women who are not so visible by the power brokers? What about those women? Why not create an environment where those women can also put themselves up for service? A lot of people talk, oh, yeah, more women in parliament, more women in governance. But the reason why we're not having more women is because there is this system that's there that doesn't promote some random person who serves at the community level, serves at the grassroots, to just go up and say, I want to serve, and give me access to serve, right? Not many are as confident or as bold to challenge the systems that exist. And so I think political parties need to be held more accountable to actually create an environment where people who are not necessarily visible, but who actually know the constituents, know what their needs are, to actually put themselves up for service. So I'm going to be speaking about youth a little bit. And what I wanted to highlight is the rate of unemployment among youth in the rate of unemployment among youth compared to adults. And in North America, Central America, and the Caribbean, the estimates are that the ratio is 3-1. And I think that's problematic. The Youth Development Index in 2016 proposed that the most consistent benefit for youth unemployment comes from programs that support entrepreneurship and self-employment. So we want to stop youth unemployment, encourage them to start their own businesses. And I think the environment that we live in now economically is actually ripe for that kind of promotion. People can work from their laptops now, and the level of educational requirements to do certain types of jobs do not require a tertiary education. Right? Encourage students to engage in programs such as the Junior Achievement Program, which is a program that promotes entrepreneurship among young people. So they engage in a program for a few months and they have to design a product, sell the product, bring it to market, and this builds up their skill sets. Remove or make information accessible to persons without instant access to the internet. Yes, it is 2019. However, there are many persons who still do not have access to internet, believe it or not, even people in urban settings. Remove the assumption about what an individual should know. And I'm going to share an anecdote from an interaction I had with a client a few weeks ago. So in Jamaica, there is a trust that allows persons to put monies towards the ability to purchase a home. This trust, the money is actually a statutory return that you are obligated to pay once you earn an income. And so I met with this lady who wanted to prepare for a meeting with a banker. She, in order to get a document saying that, you know, you meet all the requirements as a business owner, she needed to get something from that trust. She had refused to make contributions to the trust because she was of the view that the money was just going to the government rather than it just being on trust for her use in the future. And I was like, you really didn't know that this money that you're paying, even though you're obligated to pay it on a monthly basis, this was money that you actually own. It's your money. The government doesn't take it. And so she was also, you know, needed to make some changes where housing was concerned, and she missed out on that opportunity because she didn't understand that that provision that the trust made was actually for her own benefit. And so she didn't make any contributions to the trust, and so she had to find another way to gather the funding for a home, as well as had to, you know, communicate to the bank that, you know, whatever the reason was for her not making payments to the trust. And so you can never assume, even if something is, you know, widespread information, don't assume that a person will know because they operate a business. All right, so other recommendations I have: roll out national financial literacy and money management programs in school and in the public. As I was saying earlier, some persons do not have a challenge with earning money. They have a challenge with, you know, making the best use of their earnings, and they, you know, they usher the responsibility of managing their money to other people who may not be qualified to actually manage the money for them, right? And, you know, change the mindset of the public towards money management. Remove the fear that is associated with this. It builds confidence. I think there also needs to be public campaigns that explain the regulatory framework that guides businesses in your jurisdictions. Do not take it for granted that even though you can go on the internet and find this sort of information, it doesn't mean that somebody is going to readily access it. And so whether it's the traditional channels of TV, radio, or the more modern channels of social media, government should be prioritizing sharing the regulatory framework of businesses in their jurisdictions. I think, based on my experience, this would actually encourage more people to go into business and remove that fear associated with business and remove the fear associated with taxation and their statutory payments that they need to make. Always consider the culture again and the vernacular of the average citizen. So what is the language that the average citizen use? What do they say? What are the jargons that they use? Ensure that any public campaign actually factors in how the average Joe or the average Jane speaks. And so there's no, you know, reduces the extent of any possible disconnect between what the government is trying to convey and what the citizens actually receive. Always use language that speaks to someone who acquired up to basic secondary education proficiency or lower. Communicate opportunities that exist and how they may be accessed. There is still a challenge regarding internet access, as I said. I remember about 2 weeks ago, I had a community engagement, and one of the big things that came up for the women was, of course, employment, wanting to work, not having the support of their partners with their children, etc. And there were some opportunities that we shared with them that they didn't know anything about. They didn't know that they were available to them. And then another thing I found was that the processes to actually access certain things, so maybe the paperwork that's involved, it can also be intimidating. And so it's just a matter of finding ways to actually encourage persons to access opportunities. And then, you know, the confidence to do so goes back to leadership again. Other areas that I think the governments or the leaders here should consider is the accessibility of business development services and coaching and mentoring services. I don't think mentorship is promoted enough within the context of the Caribbean. A lot of persons, you know, it's about hustling and figuring it out on your own when there are other economies that are thriving, and they're thriving because they have the support of coaches and mentors. However, Jamaica, for example, has something called a voucher for technical assistance, where persons are actually able to access coaching at a significantly reduced cost. And I also believe that salary and wage negotiation should also be a consideration. When I was in Washington, D.C. on my fellowship last year, the D.C. City Council, they actually were hosting what's called salary negotiation workshops specifically for women. And what I liked so much, it was free of cost. What I liked so much about those workshops was that they actually presented the data to show the difference in earnings of women compared to men, and they broke it down according to ethnicity and other factors. And so I think that many women who go to a certain level, who are executives, certain problems do not affect us, right? And interestingly, what came out of those workshops, it showed that many times in negotiations, women actually lowball themselves, and there's actually a lot more money on the table if only they actually asked for more and were able to actually communicate what their value was to the organization. And that was just mind-blowing for me, because you are taught a scarcity mindset abounds us. And many of us are taught to just accept whatever opportunities are brought before you, just take what you get and never ask any questions, and just be thankful that someone wants to hire you, not recognizing that the only reason why you probably even got the interview was because you are extremely qualified to do the work, and if you only ask for what your worth is, it's highly likely that you'll get it or even come to some sort of reasonable midpoint that allows you to be happy and the owner to be happy as well. So many persons do not even realize that they're underemployed and that they're earning less than men, right? And so this needs to be a priority of the government, not only because, you know, empowering women, but it's also about ensuring that private sector is not, you know, exploiting citizens, right? Especially women, and I say young people as well, because the instances of not negotiating, not going to bat for yourself, it usually happens when a person is much younger and less confident and less knowledgeable about the systems that exist and the systems that are there to kind of exploit your vulnerability. Gracias.